This is Horace Beam, the update, episode 441, recorded Friday, November 29th, 2013, The Scottish Tutorial. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this week's episode of RSBMB Update. Just us two normal, friendly types here to discuss some RS updates with you this week.
All right, and it's me, Trekkie, over here. Woo! Happy Thanksgiving.
After having some internet issues.
Yeah. Hopefully you and I can fix this tomorrow.
Yeah, fingers crossed that we won't have any other issues through the other hour or so while we're here.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, right. Fingers crossed. So this week we got perhaps one of the most important updates that we've seen in a while, don't you think?
Which one?
CoinShare.
CoinShare. Oh, yes, CoinShare, of course.
Yeah. So basically, just as a bit of a rundown for anybody who missed it earlier in the week, when this update initially came out, I did do a supplemental, which you can find on YouTube. You can probably just search for it there, or youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. You can find it. And with that being said, I gave a bit of a brief rundown as to exactly why that's important, but we will repeat that here on this episode right now. So, basically, do you remember when CoinShare first came out in 2007 before the wilderness free trade removal?
Mm-hmm. And the whole idea behind the whole loot share thing, wasn't it?
Basically yeah, the same loot thing. Share is what it initially yeah. was.
And you go in the group, and if someone gets something really good, it dumps it into the GE and splits everyone a bit of the cash.
Right. And that's what happened with CoinShare once the GE came out. Before that, it would just give the item to whoever thought deserved it the most based on some sort of ranking system. But as it turns out, with CoinShare, it was actually just giving the money to the person rather than actually putting the item up for sale on the GE and having someone buy it eventually. So the result of this was that money was simply coming into the game and no new items were being added to it. So, you know, that's a negative side effect for the economy as a whole, because as we're introducing more money into the economy, the gold pieces, GP, that simply means that the value of GP goes down because there's so much of it. Now, you might think this is a good idea. You can accumulate huge, huge, high cash stacks, right? Now, the problem with this is that when GP isn't really worth that much, you can have lots of it, but you really can't do anything with it. This is the real-life equivalent of what's happening in some African countries like Zimbabwe. Basically, they're printing money like there's no tomorrow, and people are running around with $1 million notes.
Yeah, and you want a perfect example of this, you look back at what happened in Germany right after World War I.
Exactly, hyperinflation of the currency.
Uh-huh. I'll just keep it short and simple. Think of supply and demand. The more you print, the less it's worth.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
And
let's just leave it at that.
When that comes into the rest of the economy, it means that the buying power for set amount of money is down. So it costs you more to buy that rune plate body, even though it doesn't seem like it. That buying power isn't what it used to be. So this is a helpful move for the economy in general, because we're taking money out of the economy with the Well of Goodwill and other recent updates as well. Now, this thing here, this CoinShare update, addresses the other side of the equation, where rather than taking money out, it's controlling the flow of cash into the economy. Which, if I think about it, this only leaves High Alchemy and the Squeal of Fortune as the only other ways that GP can really come into the game.
Okay.
And with that, they're not huge amounts of GP like you get when you go solo a boss monster or something like that. So it's a lot more manageable, and it requires actual player actions. So overall, I think this is a good update to CoinShare. Basically, each item is now worth 120 shards, so you can either collect these shards on your own when you go fight a boss, or you can purchase the shards on the exchange. If you're a few short, put them together and you get an item. Voila. Takes GP completely out of the equation.
Oh, hey.
So overall, it's a very good move for the economy, and over time, we're not going to see it in the few days since this update, but over time, we will see that prices of things will come down, because as the currency comes down, people are not going to be using this money to purchase things at the inordinate prices that they were at before. So given that the prices come down, this controls the inflation a bit of the currency, which gives your currency more buying power and you can do more with it. The classic example of this is, remember back in the olden days, we used to think 100K was a lot of GP? Now, yeah. 1 million really isn't a lot of GP. 10 million is where I would say is the threshold of being a lot. Would you agree with that?
God. Yeah, I say 10 mil is kind of like the new standard for quote-unquote middle class of RS.
Yeah. And of course, you have the higher ones up, 100 mil plus, 500 mil, billion, that sort of thing, seeing as the max cash stack is 2.1 billion. So there's that as well. And, I mean, if you look at the market, you can see that items like the party hats and whatnot are definitely up there. And this inflation of the currency was probably making it easier to get at those. But at the same time, you got to ask, is that the real value of a party hat? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's really unfortunate that over the past couple of the days, the Grand Exchange graphs on the RuneScape website have actually stopped updating once again. So we really can't track what's going on with the economy because of this, which is kind of weird that that happens on the same day in which this update comes out. But nonetheless, we will be waiting to see what happens to these prices once these changes happen.
Okay, then.
So what do you think? You happy with this?
I don't really know what to think about this one. I don't really boss hunt very much, and what I do is usually with a small group of friends, and we're just doing this just to waste time. I never get anything good. But, oh no. let the market decide.
Yeah, and I mean, this doesn't affect solo bots, or mainly the larger groups. And another thing that occurred to me when this came out is that you have something called the Instance God Wars Dungeons, and you know, the Kalfite King. I don't know where I got Quing from, but anyways, all these boss monsters, you can have instance groups now, whereas in the past, you would have to actually go to there and fight for position. So with them being instanced, it just means that there's always one of these things going on, so there's always a reason for GP to be coming into the economy before this update, and that's a major problem, and this pretty much addresses it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I really don't have much else to say on this, except that it's a major part of the update, and we do need to be thankful for this.
Okay, cool.
All right. So, next part was the world map update.
Thank God. It's been outdated for a while.
You know, you're entirely right with what you said there. One of the things they wanted to address with this was the slow speed of the map initially.
Yeah, it kind of loads relatively slow. And
yeah, long. And you remember how long it takes for it to pop up before this update, right?
You had to click on the world map and the bar, you would see the black screen with the red bar, and you had to wait for the red bar to go through, and then you gotta try and figure it out. And if you accidentally clicked on that, it's even worse, because then you gotta wait till it opens before you close it. It's like open up IE on a computer.
Yeah, and the reason that it does this is because it before when RS was converted to RSHD back in 08, they had to add the world map. And the thing they did to get around it, rather than caching everything to the system memory, because they had to stick in the Java memory back then, basically, they had to kick the game out of HD mode, that is rendering with your graphics, and put it back in software mode. So as a result of this, that's why it took so slow. And it was still doing this last week before the update, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it'd be so slow, too. Because you could expand this thing out to however big your screen was, right? Now, the thing is that this would take lots of memory, and that would slow it down. So this is the first step of their map update in bringing it to the future, which I can say it's much improved. It pops up practically instantly. The only thing I really would like to suggest for this map is that they allow it so that you can resize the map.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you can have it up right next to the mini-map, for example, or at a portion of your screen, because you don't always want to have a full-size map up, right?
No.
Because if you had a full-size map up, what use is it if you're trying to follow a path, right? Like, you can set an arrow to show you where to go, but what if you actually want to see your process of exactly where you are, right?
Mm.
So, that's one thing I would suggest from it, but they did a very good job with this.
Yeah, that's quite nice. They added a little more toolbars and legends to it, so people can find it easier to do what they want to do.
Yep. And you know, one thing that I'm hoping to see in the future is that it's really annoying how the map appears a different color each time you load it. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
It is? Let me see.
Yeah, if you load it up numerous times, it'll appear as a different color. I don't know if that's been fixed, but that would be something I'd like to see go away.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look the same to you?
It looks the same to me, but then maybe right. my eyes could be playing tricks on me.
Yeah, it could be the case. Regardless, though, they are doing more updates in the future, and they're listening to community feedback and whatnot. So this is the first peg of a map update that is on the way. Now, with that being said, I would also like to point out our map update on RSBNB. That map has been updated. So if you just go to rsbnb.com/map, you can access our map. And our map's been updated to the newest map tiles, well, as of a couple days ago, before that new boat appeared in Taverly, and also it's much faster than it was before. And just as Jagex did their map update to get ready for the future, this is for us to get ready for the future as well. So I can say that on our map, there's actually going to be some changes that are coming down.
In other words, we forgot to announce it last week, but this week is a workout for everyone.
Because there's two new maps to look at, right?
Yes, so take a look at ours and then try it with RS and have some fun.
Yeah, rsbnb.com/map. Right now it's got a treasure trail finder and quick links to places and transportation. But this is just the very tip of the iceberg of what you're going to be able to do with this map. If anybody has any ideas about it, you can, of course, post in the forum topic for this episode. Talk to me on RS, Shane12088, or send me an email, shane@rsbnb.com. All right, so I just had to take that as a bit of diversion since we were on a kind of a we were being cartographers there for a second. So let's get back to RS, shall we?
All right.
So the new tutorial. So first we had Tutorial Island. Then we had Unstable Foundations in Lumbridge, that dungeon thing. Then we had the Troll Invasion in Taverly, and now we're back to another Tutorial Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really can't seem to figure out what they want to do for new tutorials in-game, can they?
Maybe they're, well, I think they're trying to get a new influx of players and make it easier and more interactive.
Yeah. And I'll say that this tutorial island, because it is on an island, you do need to take a boat to get there from the mainland and back, is a lot like the original tutorial island in that it goes through the basics of combat, gathering skills like mining, and then finishing skills like smithing and whatnot, and tells you how to eat and whatnot as well. So this is a lot like the old tutorial island, but not as in-depth. It's much quicker, takes about 10 minutes to go through, and it looks very, very nice. You know what it actually reminded me of when I was walking through this place?
What?
A Super Mario game.
Which one?
I don't know, just any of the 3D Worlds ones, you know, like the N64 one, for example, except with better graphics. Not to say RuneScape looks like the N64, but basically any 3D World Mario type game it reminded me of.
Let's go.
And they got the Scottish guy there.
Scottish guy?
Yeah, he speaks with a real Scottish accent, you know, like wee laddie, that sort of type of thing.
Aye, laddie.
Yeah, there you go. Where have I heard that before?
I can't remember. Maybe it was from Uncle Dana trying to sound Jamaican. You remember that?
No, I wasn't here for that.
Ah, too bad we don't have that anymore. Uncle Dana will remember it as he listens to this, probably laughing his behind off right now. We made fun of him for that day. We told him to try and sound Jamaican for the title, and after he said it, we said that he sounded more Scottish, and after that, he couldn't get it out of his head. He had to sound Scottish after that, so Mike had to do the title.
All right, so back to RS once again. So in this tutorial, after you go through it, you kill some zombies, get introduced to EOC. There's a new system called the Path System, and all this does is it shows you where to go after you finish. So it'll point out early quests you can do, probably point you to the Combat Academy, that sort of thing as well. So it's basically getting you equipped with the basics of the game and then shifting into a perspective of, okay, this person knows what they're doing. They know how to navigate the game. They know how to fight. They know how to eat. And they know how to gather and finish. So now, let's let them choose where they want to go and which skills they want to work on. So after that, you start right in Taverly, and then you could probably look at combat if you wanted to, or any of the other skill trainers there in Taverly. So in a way, it's a much nicer system than we had before, because I will say that I think the troll invasion part played more like a mini game and less like a tutorial, and I think it had a subtle emphasis over emphasis on combat.
Okay. Yeah, and if you're not a new player, you can still have a chance to test it out.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to Gudrik in Taverly.
Gudrik. So basically, aye, you'll head straight to the Taverly Bank, and then on that same port there, you can, where you go to Damonheim, is where you go visit Ashdale, which is the land where this tutorial takes place. Then after that, you play through it and look at the graphics. And like, just look at the picture here on the news post. I gotta say, if this is what RuneScape graphics are gonna look like in the future, I am impressed. Mainly because the graphics shown here are just so much more richer in color, and the background is lighter. I mean, it felt like HTML5 without actually playing HTML5.
That's good.
And the trees were detailed too. It looked like there were birch trees there, and I mean, I would like to see some of these things, like this grass and ground texture and those trees, actually added to the game. Added to the main game, not the tutorial. Anyways, that's just food for thought, but everyone should definitely go have a look and see what this looks like at the end of the day. All right. So with that being said, that pretty much covers the main updates of the week. CoinShare, the world map, and the tutorial. I, of course, think the main highlight is CoinShare.
Uh-huh.
You agree with that, or you think something else?
I don't really have an opinion this week. Nothing really substantial for me.
All right. Well, let's just watch the economy and see what happens then, because let's remember that a presidential election in the early 90s was one with the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid." Alrighty, so with that being said, let's move on to some tweaks and fixes for the week. So, first up, unicorns have been added. Unicorn companion pets available on Solomon's general store.
Yay, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was looking at this and I was really hoping that they weren't going to look like My Little Pony unicorns. That would just be bad, wouldn't it?
I was thinking of that too. No, remember that catering to their bronies.
Do those even play RS? Do we want to know?
Do you really want to know the answer to that, Shane?
Well, yes, but I don't want to know what the result of that answer is. So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, really. But, yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, you can pick them up on the Solomon's General Store. There's two of them, Innocent and Mischievous. I think I have to be Innocent.
Cute and thrown away, but I have my unicorn. And he heals me, too.
That's true. That's a better unicorn.
And it's fully grown up, too.
Yay! Okay. Also, this week they've added the Snow Imps in preparation for December 1st, which is on Sunday, because the Festivore is coming back, where you'll get the 50% XP boost and for 30 minutes a day, I think it is. So, be ready to use that starting on the 1st. That is key to having success in December. But we'll talk a bit about that in just a little bit, but let's move on to the patch notes for the week, shall we?
Okay, patch notes.
All right. So, patch notes for the week, November 26th. So, now there's been something here this week that was, you know, put in to really... Oh, wait. Never mind. I was reading the wrong thing. Or no, didn't I paste something to you that they adjusted the drop rates for the Serenic scales again?
You sent something to me yesterday. It might be an unofficial one.
Yeah. Because I read this and it's not in here anymore.
Sure it was this one?
Pretty sure.
Well, anyway, as you kind of mentioned to me, they kind of made another nerf to how scales are scales drop rate.
Yeah, basically, because you'll remember last week they made it so that the drop rate on the scales was improved, and this week it seems as though they tuned that back a bit. But I read this and I pasted it to you, but it's not in the patch notes today. Huh? What? Okay, that's very weird that that's not here.
Okay, found it.
Okay, where is it?
It's you posted to the archive. I guess I didn't add that into it yet. You go to the main one, it's there.
All right, what does it say?
Eight Serenic scales dropped slightly rarer as they were a touch too common after last week's rebalance. Players can once again interact with game world correctly while using Ulog's pool, god statues, and dungeoneering for complete interface.
Hmm.
So basically, they didn't add in the hotfixes to that to the archives yet.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then, because you know, these scales, they totally crashed in terms of market price. Right after last week's update, so it kind of makes sense that they tone them back a bit. But I haven't went to go see what the drop rate is now, nor have I been able to see what the Grand Exchange is doing because they haven't been updating that. So it's really hard to know what's going on here. Come on, Grand Exchange, start updating again, please. please.
Well, what's the other thing? Well, you and I can always go kill, go slay one of those, whatchamacallit, Navaris?
Legions.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing in here, it's no longer possible to use Surge to bypass the collapsing Barrows tunnels in Rise of the Six. So I guess people were kind of cheating to get out of that rather quickly, which makes sense because that's one that sends you backwards or forwards seven squares in a hurry. Let's see. Dragging a noted item onto a buy slot in the GE no longer gives a you can't sell that item to the Grand Exchange message. Yeah, that's really all we got for this week. And a force walk by the barrel in Lumbridge Northeast Tower has been removed. So.
Oh, did I tell you about how I, during the whole rebuild-a-thon thing, I got stuck by the wheelbarrow?
Yeah, you did. How'd you get out?
I had to teleport out. It was the only way. And you don't believe me, you can ask Earth. I said it, and he came by. And it's like, dude, I'm stuck. No, you're not. Like, oh, hey, I'm stuck too. I told you. Oh, this
is
cool.
So how did you initially get stuck?
I was walking, and that was exactly what I was doing. I was walking, and I was trying to walk up north from the bridge, and when I crossed the bridge, it said, yeah, you're not going anywhere. Aw, man.
You know, another interesting thing, speaking of bugs this week with Lumbridge, did you notice that the buildings we rebuilt in the Rebuild-a-thon are gone?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, basically, one of the buildings that was rebuilt in the Rebuild-a-thon is gone, as is the Memorial Fountain, and part of the God Wars camps there outside the crater have also come back. So, kind of weird thing going on there with this week's update.
Maybe Zamorak is trying something new to mess with the followers.
Yeah, we got an interesting question about Zamorak coming up, don't we?
If you say so.
All right. That's all there is for the patch notes this week. So moving on from that comes Well of Goodwill, the final update, seeing as it ends on the 30th.
Tomorrow.
So for the past couple of days, they modified the Well of Goodwill so that for each GP donated, you give $2 instead of $1. So for every 10 million, $2 is given now. And so far, they've reached the total of 511,584,653,799 coins donated. And 7143 bonds. So a huge effort that happened here over the past couple of days, and thanks to everybody for sending this sort of stuff in. I might dump some stuff in here tonight before it ends.
Yeah, we're and highest one so far is Ooh La La, right, who donated what is it, 31 billion? Is that it?
See what that number is.
I want to say 31 billion, but I'm not too sure.
Huh, the names aren't appearing. That's weird.
Really? They appear for me.
Okay. Yes, that is... Yeah, that's 31 billion.
Okay, and someone donated 1,000 bonds.
Yep. Makes me wonder if he purchased them with real money or bought them in-game.
I don't know. I'm not rich enough to do that.
Yeah. Alrighty then. So, moving on from that, we had an anniversary come by last weekend now, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
1 year since the Evolution of Combat was put into game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like it or not, EOC was one of the most controversial updates of all time. It really split the community. And in my view, all this came from mismanagement of the beta by JX. But we've been down this road before. Basically, to sum it up in two quick sentences, the beta would have been more successful if Jagex had exerted more control. Exerting more control would have allowed them to carefully tune the message and fill it with players who were actually playing, rather than people who were just complaining about it.
Well, also, during the beta, it was just still relatively very laggy and really hard for people to really try anything. It should have made it a whole world P2P for a while, let people really have some fun.
See, the thing is, I never had any lag with EOC. I don't know what people were talking about.
I did.
That's interesting. Anyways, I posted a topic on the forums about this, and got actually quite a few good points. In general, it seems as though most of our community enjoyed the update, as in that they are not totally adamant to going back to the old one, but some of them also feel as though it wasn't exactly needed and we could have just lived on the way it was. And I'll say for me entirely is that it brought me back into combat and made it more fun and less dull. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I find myself focusing a bit more on combat than before, because you know you kind of have to, you really do have to kind of focus on combat a little bit more.
Yeah.
Unless you just want to do 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
And that makes it go a lot faster. So like before, you just click on an NPC, wait, and now you can actually go in and use special tactics and whatnot and finish up a bit faster. Now, I'm not going to go into what the people discussed on their own in this topic, so I'm going to tell you guys what I think. First things first, it was a needed update. The combat triangle had become completely lopsided, and it needed to be fixed, which is good. I like the firm constraints they put in regarding combat type and weaknesses and whatnot. Now, overall, I said it made me appreciate combat more, like it, that sort of thing. The only reason I haven't got 99 Slayer yet is because I feel that if I go out and get 99s and all my combat skills, I won't want to get 99 Slayer, because I just feel as though once I do something, there's no more incentive to have fun with it. So that's why I haven't really buckled down and trained Slayer all that much this year. But there are a couple of shortfalls, primarily in the equipment area. Some tiers of equipment still have gaps in them, and there's no real easy way of having smithable equipment all the way from level 1 to 99, as was initially intended with rune and whatnot, so that's one of the issues. And also, when you look at the abilities are still kind of lacking, especially for magic and ranged, which are my two favorite ways of doing combat. Key example, there's only two ranged area of effect abilities, meaning ones that you can hit multiple targets with.
Besides the Chimchampas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's really my only two problems with it, main problems, and if they fix those, we'll be golden. What about you?
Okay, so those who have played MMOs before, a build is basically a set of skills that you put on your bar. And the whole point of it is, depending on what you put onto it, it can do effective combinations with it that can either do more damage or whatever else you deem helps out. So one of the problems with EOC is there's really not that many builds, not many skills out there for each class. Ranger is stuck with only about 13 skills. Magic is only, while the core magic has a lot of core magic skills, your offensive ones is just 13 as well. Melee has quite a bit, but you can't really do that much with them right now, except just try and stun and just go hack and slash.
All right.
You get that,
Shay? Yep.
And so,
I did. What was this thing we were discussing? What do you use two-handed for, and what do you use dual wielding for?
Dual wielding is really, you know, it's really designed for spiking damage. You want to do as much damage as you can really, really, really fast in a short amount of time. Two-handed is more about, it feels more of like, you don't do a lot of damage, but it's very sustained damage. So as you're fighting, the damage, you know, is really constant. It's constant, and you know, you keep putting on that pressure. With dual wielding, you know, once you hit the threshold, there's only a couple of skills that, you know, you can hit twice or something, but they're not as accurate as maybe we would like them to be. So they're really good for killing stuff really, really fast, but sustaining it is kind of not that good.
Yeah.
So I think the main, one of the main issues is there's just not that many skills out there for each class to really have people mess around with it. Think about the shield skill really quick. If I can open, which button was that to open up shields? No, that was O. No, not O. P? Not P. Which one was it? K, there you go. For all your defensive abilities, you have about 11 of them. One of them is, you have about 11 defensive skills, all of which more or less requires a shield. But if you also kind of look at it too, everything there is really just for you. Well, what if you decide to go boss hunting with your friends? Imagine someone being a tank, being someone who can support everyone else. You know, you bring out a really nice shield, you can actually help protect people, heal them, deflect some of the damage back to the enemy as they're attacking your friends and allies. You have a lot of stun abilities, but quite honestly, anyone who's fighting bosses, that stunning does nothing. So those skills are all worthless.
So basically, you want to make the tank a bigger element in PvM fights.
Well, I would like them to give more AoE ability, look at the two-hander one. That's basically one. It's cleave. Cleave is that cleave through your foes, dealing damage in a frontal cone. That's great, but in PV, and when you're fighting, you know, doing Slayer, they're not all going to stand right in front of you. They're kind of a little bit all over the place, all around you. The only one that can really hit all around you is a Hurricane, maybe Meteor Shower, depending on
your target. No, that doesn't work. That's garbage.
Yeah, because it has to be something over 50% health, which you're basically hitting the next guy you're after. I think one of the problems is that it needs more skills. Let people really play around, just find out what works for them. And I think if they do that, they'll have a much better gaming result. I mean, like what most games do, they actually have two components for each skill. They have a PvP component to keep things relatively, you know, balanced. And they have the PvE, which is PvE portion of the skill, which is like, could be completely uber mega powerful.
Yeah, completely agree with you there. It comes down to abilities and having a sense of individuality with how you do combat. Now, 12 of them is good, but there needs to be more. So that is a place we need to go, and that's one thing we both agree on here. So I think that's what we think of it, and overall the game's better than it was before, right?
It's been cool, but I still think, you know, one, I really wish to give us more action bars. We really need more than 5.
Yes, can't more expect than 5 us, would be ideal.
They can't expect all of us just to have 5 action bars, and, you know, all 5 of them are basically all combat, except for if you're lucky to have one. But then again, that one is basically jack-of-all-trade builds, and that's not very helpful.
Yeah, completely agree.
You need to have some more.
All right, so 1 year of EOC, we like it so far, but there's definitely little refinements that could be made, so we'll have to check back next year and see where we're at.
Hey, you know, one thing I think they should try and do is, you know, as they're releasing quests, they should release a good chunk, a good chunk of new abilities for every single one, so it gives people a sense of, yeah, well, sure. So and we can, what's good, what they could do is basically have quests of different levels, and as you're doing them, you know, if you're a lower level, hey, you release some new magic abilities, or as you're intermediate, hey, you release some new ranging abilities. So it gives people incentive to do the quest. It also gives people who are already all the way up there, you know, incentive to do the quest as well and get some new abilities and try things out.
Yeah, see, they did this in February, And I thought this was the tip of the iceberg. In February, they brought out The World Wakes, the Guthix quest. And with this quest, they brought out a level 85 ultimate for each of the skill types. Now, I thought this is where we were going to be heading, and I've heard that when EOC was still in beta, they said they were going to be releasing abilities with quests. But we're 1 year in. Where are they?
We got about four.
Yeah, exactly. So more would be nice.
And
more.
And I think for me, most of the charging abilities that kind of like make you run really fast or something, I kind of find most of them somewhat useless. Usually it's like, oh, you don't have enough room to do this. Well, just do it. I don't care. I just need to move back one space, but I can't do it because there's not enough space to do it.
Yeah,
that kind of gets annoying. A tsunami is really cool. You really need to be in melee range in order to use that thing. And quite honestly, mostly just hits one guy, if any at all.
You want to give us the audio version of that?
Oh, you got that as a clip show. You can put that some other time.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, let's just talk a little bit about the Squeal of Fortune update for the week. You remember all those outfits that came out once upon a time?
Uh-huh.
Like the artisan outfit, the botanist outfit, shaman elf outfit?
Uh-huh.
Well, those are going to be available this weekend. Friday, which you guys have already missed, and is the artisan and sous chef, so for crafting and cooking. Saturday is smithing and prayer. Sunday is botanist and shaman for summoning and herblore, and Monday will be all of them. So you're going to have an increased chance to getting these outfits on these days. And let's just say that when you combine them all, you can get a bonus 6% XP in the skill whenever you wear it, and it doesn't wear out. So there are a bunch of these that are actually very useful. Actually, they're all useful, but the most useful, I'd say, would be prayer, herblore, and summoning.
I got a prayer one earlier.
Do you have all the pieces?
No.
Too bad.
I don't think I do anyway. I got a little green tiara.
And also, if you are missing pieces from previous events, you can go check out Diango and Draenor Village and see what he's got, see if you got any of them. So I'd recommend that everyone do that before you start your next training run in any of these skills, because you know it can help out greatly and it stacks over time. So go for it. Alrighty, moving on from that, behind the scenes for December, the last month of the year. You know, I always wait for this month. I always wait for this month. Yeah. So the Festivora, that's one of the things they're going to be doing all month. 50% XP boost for 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice. You also get the snowflake wings from that. But if not, you can pick one up from the various snow imps in game. Also, Christmas updates. There's three of them. First one being the Festivora. Second one, Up to Snow Good. So basically, this is Zamorak running around wanting to ruin Christmas. So basically, you need to decide, are you going to help Zamorak or are you going to help the good people and be on the naughty or nice list? Do you want a Christmas filled with chaos and disorder, or do you prefer more traditional happy Christmases? So that's the way of bringing Zamorak back after his defeat. So including in the 15 days of Christmas, there's also going to be a cracker, kind of like the crackers that were distributed way back in 2001, except this time there's going to be a new tradable rare inside, the Black Santa Hat. Now, what do you think of a Black Santa Hat?
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense now, does it? I've never seen a black one.
Well, if you think about it, if Santa does go down chimneys, it does get dirty.
Right.
Besides,
I guess
look
that would be a way of looking at it.
It would look good with my ghostly outfit.
Okay. Well, there you go. You're going to have a higher chance of getting one of these crackers if you are wearing any Christmas outfits. So we don't know what these are going to be at the present time, but I would hope that you're able to keepsake a Christmas item, and that counts as wearing it. Because if not, then it's going to be really annoying to run these run around with these Christmas items on. But nonetheless, I think this is what everyone is going to be going for this year. So let's begin then. Moving on from that is the second world event, the Bird and the Beast. So, as mentioned at RuneFest, Bandos and Armadil going at it. This time it's 6 weeks rather than 10. It's going to take place in Mystalin and Asgarnia, so mainly the old free-to-play lands. And it's going to involve divination. So, rather than using the energy that was gathered when in the first world event because of Guthix, because that's all gone now, it's going to be relying on players' divination levels and using divination in this update. That's very interesting, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So, also with this, there is actually going to be a big death at the end of it. So we'll have to see what exactly happens with this. And something you mentioned earlier, open world PvP.
Ooh, really?
Also, yeah, open world PvP and entirely new combat abilities for PvP and PvE. You also get experience in construction, divination, and combat. And those who opt in for PvP will be able to get prayer experience as well. And they say choose carefully. Because in the knowledge that this outcome will prove fatal to one of the leading gods of the Sixth Age Pantheon. So, that just means one of them is going to die, so choose carefully. And I honestly think the world will be turned upside down if Armadil wins this.
You think so?
I mean, if Bandos wins this, I'm sorry. It would be like the thing going back to the U.S. 2008 presidential election, where everyone thought that Hillary was going to get the Democratic nominee, but Obama won instead.
I never believed she would get it anyway.
Lots of people did.
I know, but I had hope, but it just wasn't there.
Yeah, and I mean, this is kind of the same thing that's going to happen here. Right now, everyone's probably thinking Armadil going in, but anything could happen. So there is actually stuff on the line this time, so I would highly recommend that everybody take part in this. Because we don't want to hear any sore losers running around after the fact. All right. Also, coming this month is a level 92 Slayer NPC, which you're going to be able to fight. I'm not. It's going to drop the first ever level 90 gloves and new bones and pieces of a Tuska mask, which can be traded in for combat XP. So basically, the Tuskas were the main type of boar beast who destroyed Guthix's homeland, which we saw in The World Wakes. And with level 92 Slayer, you'll fight them. And they're going to be a hard NPC to fight because they're going to use a variety of types of combat. They're going to be able to switch combat styles, and they will fully utilize the new combat system. So you won't be able to
it's going
to
be a groupie
that well if you use momentum, but you'll have much better luck if you use the abilities that EOC has, or Masters of the Adrenaline Bar, as they say, so say. So level 90 gloves. You interested in this?
You know, knowing that it'll probably cost me 10 million GP just to get part of it.
Why? You get it as a drop.
Yeah, but you remember, kind of think of look at all the scales. Even though you get those at the drop yard too, put them together, make them together, and buy thread from the dwarf and put them all together before you get the armor. I'm thinking it's kind of like that, some way,
yeah,
know, lesser
true.
Form, and, but something like that.
And I mean, if it is like that, for me, I just feel as though it's not as rewarding as going because you need to spend more time and whatnot. But if it's an actual drop, that could be good, I think. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. And you know, it's been a long time since we had any new high-level actual Slayer NPCs. I don't count the Ascension Dungeon as that, because that's a boss encounter, and not specifically for Slayer. Alrighty. And finally, with regards to real-world money, Solomon's General Store, reindeer pets, living presents, player-designed Christmas outfits, Bandos and Armadale-themed costumes, and some retro armor. I'm excited about the retro armor, actually. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have armor that looked like what RS2 armor looked like when you first got here? Like the original rune plate body trimmed? I really like the way that looked. And I imagine it would look much better these days with the new higher polygon count models and all that other good stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Actually, it would be kind of funny if they release a RuneScape Classic armor and you really look like a RuneScape Classic person. And you stand there somewhere and you start talking to people and maybe people would think you're a real NPC.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember what rune armor looked like? It used to be very pixelated and very, very blue-green, if I remember correctly. So that was way back in the day. And, you know, that would be really the icing on the cake, you know, is if this retro armor not only included from 04 to 08, but also before 2004, from 2000 to 2004 for RS Classic. I think that'd really be something to see someone running around with a RS Classic rune plate body, because that's where you and I got our start. So, looking forward to that. And of course, Premier Club is coming back for 2014. So, look for the messages regarding that. I don't know. You think you'll get it again?
Maybe. Probably.
I mean, the loyalty, rune coin boost is worth it in itself. Plus, priority access to all the betas, which I don't agree with, but still. Nice to have as being the show people that we are, right?
You are. Why would you not agree with that? You are paying to get some better access.
I know. But I mean, just having people who pay to get into a beta is really not how betas are run. And I wouldn't want it to result in the same sort of situation that we had with EOC. So that's why I have some pause for that.
All right. Well, that basically completely rounds up the RuneScape discussions. Let's move on to some questions now, shall we, Shane?
Alrighty. Yeah,
two interesting ones, actually.
First one is an audio question from 101DuckOne.
Hello, RSBNB hosts. This is 101DuckOne here with another question, specifically for Shane. Others can answer, of course, but this is mostly for Shane. So, Shane, as I understand, you follow Armadale in-game. Am I correct? And in terms of your real-life views, you tend to support a more capitalist model of business with a laissez-faire government and an individualistic structure. If so, then why don't you follow Zamorak? Now, hear me out. It actually makes sense. Zamorak really isn't pure evil. He's just a capitalist. He wants to sit back and let those who work for what they want achieve greatness. On the other hand, good gods like Armadale and Ceridoman stress a collectivist system of equality which smells a bit red to me. My question is, have you considered this before, and does it influence your choice of god? Also, does it seem as though Jagex is subliminally telling us that a more socialist structure is good by making those gods appear benevolent? Thank you for the great show, and have an awesome week.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say that any company is gonna, of course, insert their own little threads into the game like that regarding whether or not something is good or not. So I'd say that's entirely possible. But to answer the question, I've never looked at it that way. I've never really looked at any of the modern literature on Zamorak. I did listen to the Above the Lore podcast on his beliefs and where he is right now. So there's that. But the main reason I kind of jump back and forth between Armadyl and Zeros is because, first things first, Zeros is a manipulator behind the scenes. And, I mean, there's just something appealing about somebody who can't be seen, but yet pulls the strings and exists in the shadows. That's always interested me in some of the best Star Trek arcs ever ran on the same kind of storyline right there. So that's kind of why I like that. And plus, he can alter his form to be non-corporeal and whatnot. So that's pretty nice as well. Main reason, Armadyl, I've read into a bit, but I have the Zaros books right now. Armadyl, because just the pure fact of justice, law, and order, which is something that I value in the real world. And, I mean, there's a difference between law and order in the real world and, of course, in RS. But it can stand for what it wants to stand for in-game. And I've always been attached to Zaro, so that's specifically why I chose that initially. But now that you mention it, I do remember from that podcast that they mentioned that Zamorak just wants to enable his followers to achieve greatness and is willing to insert the chaos and destruction into the world in order for that to happen. Now, I agree with you. That's very capitalistic, and that's why people don't like capitalists in general, and, well, certain people don't, is because they view them as demons who are trying to subjugate and limit others in order to advance their own goal, which is, of course, what Zamorak is doing. He has the robes that drop in the God Wars dungeon, robes of subjugation. So, I mean, it's entirely right there. So, I haven't read much into the Zamorak lore history. We'll have to ask Earth about that. But I do like where you're going. I don't know if it would be enough to change my view on this. Primarily because just somebody who wants to destroy Christmas, as said in the behind the scenes, really doesn't seem like someone who would fit in terms of the modern day capitalist laissez-faire type person or organization. All right, you want to take a crack at that one?
I got nothing to say. You know, I'm more neutral good when it comes to RS. I try not to go all philosophical over a game that I play. You know, it's the whole, you look at it, it's an ego trip between Sarah Doman and Zamorak. Like, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. Well, that's proven. Ah! 3 weeks later. Oh, dang it.
Yeah, so, that's, you know, right.
It's... for me, I could care less of who I'm really following. You know, I just do what I believe is best at the time, and I shall reap the consequences, good or bad.
Well, you do need to choose one for World Event 2, because one of them is going to die. So which one do you choose?
Which one would I choose?
Mm-hmm.
Who would I choose?
And be successful.
I would kill off Sarah Doma and take his place. That's what
It's either Armadyl or Bandos.
Oh, that's simple. Then I will kill off Armadyl, and I'll become the god of truth and justice.
I see, and I think that would change River. Things differently because Bandos, big high war god.
And you know, I remember Shane. I want people to read my Bible and follow my teachings and. Let justice prevail.
See, and this is another thing, another path I was thinking of going with this. I mean, if it is supposed to be about the player, I was thinking of modifying my choices in future quests to make it so that I can take the shortest path to godhood. I said the end game of this whole god thing, there needs to be an option to make the player a god. And if that exists, I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to get rid of Armadale. Less competition. I can defeat Sarah easily once I finally unlock the powers that Guthix gave to me. Once that's done, I will defeat Zamorak and Bandos and all of Glenanor. Oh, worship me.
Okay, at the Church of You.
Church of You. No, I need to come up with a better name. It'll take me. Give us some time. I'll think of a good name for myself.
All right.
Hey. Right. Thanks, 101 Duck One. Shall we move on to the next one?
Yes, let's move on to the next one. The next one is from Marumska.
Hello, Shane and Tipple Tricky. How you doing? Marumska here. I was just wondering, what do you celebrate during Thanksgiving? Also, on the topic of consoles from last week's show, I would fully go for the Nintendo Wii U, since you can play off-screen on that pad and surf the internet. I think consoles have a place in the market still as a great media entertainment device. Oh, wait. Steam sale!
Oh.
Oh, lastly, is it worth buying gaming peripherals? I can't say the word. Peripherals. I was thinking to buy a arcade stick, which I can only play one game on it. Well, really one genre, but I only have one game for it. Anyway, what's your opinion on gaming gear in general? Anyway, I'll talk to you next time. Rhymes go out.
So what do you think?
You're right, the Wii U is pretty nice with its whole
not really. I don't really bother with them. Only other gaming thing that I have is really my Xbox controller. That's it. Unless we got the mouse as a gaming peripheral.
No, you need to be on the computer. So I would not.
But I don't bother with them. Some people think it's cool, but I'm happy with the basic.
Yeah. I'll agree with you there. My only one I use sometimes, and the only games I use it for, is the Flight Simulator and the driving games, and that's the Xbox controller. Though if I had the chance, I would get a nice set of pedals and a yoke for the Flight Simulator, but I just don't have the space on the desk to keep it out all the time. That's mainly the reason why I didn't so far. But aside from that, the only other real gaming thing I have is my gaming mouse with the 12 buttons on the side, which is immensely useful for some games. So that's really all I do with regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we're good with that one then.
Yeah, so as for consoles, you know, to each their own. Every gamer has their own form of entertainment, but we're all gamers in the end.
Yeah, PC for the win.
Shane.
Alrighty. Moving on from that, we got a text question from Burnt Joint. As a retired RuneScape player, part of me always wants to come back and try experiencing those feelings of wonder and excitement I used to get from the game. However, logging into RS3 is unbelievably daunting and 07 is kind of stale. I can't really describe it. Anyways, what would you recommend for a veteran player who now almost exclusively plays WoW and LOL but wants to give RuneScape another shot? Right? Things to do, ways to approach the game, etc. First things first, do not touch 2007 version of the game. You were not around for when that was brought out, and it was not the kindest of things that happened back then. And we don't want to relive those, and let's just say that playing 07 is like shooting yourself in the foot.
Okay.
But if you're coming from WoW and LOL, I think you're playing RuneScape at exactly the right time. Because RuneScape's new combat system is like other modern MMOs. So it'll feel comfortable for you once you get the hang of it. It's still simpler than WoW, but it's definitely got a bit more thought and tactical planning behind it than it did before. So I would say start with combat. One of the things you can do is you can go to the Combat Academy, which is in Lumbridge, and basically what you'll do there is you'll learn about all the different weapon types and how they work, the rebalanced combat triangle, the new combat formula, and how to set up your action bar for abilities and whatnot, and how prayers work and all that other good stuff, how that filters in now. So I'd say the first thing you should do, you just log into the game as you normally do and then head on over to Lumbridge, which is still in the same spot, and then visit the Combat Academy. Learn the new combat system, and I think you'll like it if you're coming from a game like that. Mm-hmm. You have anything?
Mm-hmm. I think you know, try some of the new quests. You may enjoy it. I think you may enjoy some of the World Gothic.
The World Wakes.
Yeah, you don't think you'll enjoy the World Wakes? That'll be good for you.
It's a quest that doesn't have any requirements, so you can do it straight away.
Mm-hmm. The requirement's only there so that you can get more rewards in the long run.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a really good thing that they did with all the 6th Age content, is they made it available to practically everyone. 6th Age is a very interesting pillar, definitely shaping up to be the way RuneScape is going in the future. So it makes sense to get yourself up to lore with World Wakes if you're into quests. And once again, do the combat tutorial before you go to the World Wakes, because there are boss fights in the World Wakes that scale based on your combat level. So it's definitely a good thing to do to bring some armor with you and have a good setup for fighting that quest. But aside from that, this is the best time to be playing RuneScape. If you thought RuneScape was good in 2008, this is an even better time to be playing RuneScape. Here's why. It comes largely down to RS3. RuneScape 3 was billed as the new interface system, the HTML5 graphics update, and the new website, which, of course, a website is a website, so we'll kind of leave that out. But the third thing I like to substitute in is the new music. Every bit of new music brought into the game is orchestrally composed. So you're getting high-quality audio downloaded directly to your system from dedicated sound servers. So what you're hearing is an experience that's more in-depth, and it's made more in-depth by the music that you're listening to. The first thing you experience with that is the new RuneScape loading soundtrack when you pop open the game. As well, other areas like Taverly, the Lumbridge Crater, Varrock, pretty much anywhere in the free-to-play world has been updated with new music, and eventually all the areas are going to be updated. So there's that, plus the evolution of combat. Granted, we talked about this earlier, there's still a few flaws with it, but it has greatly improved combat in the game. So just these couple of updates over the course of a year, combined with where they're going on story and the fact that we have the final elf quest on the horizon, just those reasons really make it the best time to be playing RS out there. So I would say start with combat, then get yourself into the 6th Age, and then after that, just go to whatever your favorite skill used to be and see all the new additions to it. Every skill has had a batch of new content since you were last in the game. Fire making, bonfires, wood cutting, crystal and elder trees, farming, new farming stuff, smithing, the little workshop in Falador. I mean, everything has been updated with that. There's also the new divination skill, and everything's pretty much been updated except for construction and agility. So it's definitely a good time to be coming back and looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got anything else for that one?
Do the World Wakes, and enjoy the new age, and see what's... Do some divination, why not? All the new divine things are really cool to use.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, talk about sending items directly to your bank. You can do that with divination. So, very nice indeed. Anyways, thank you for the question. And, you know, if you need more, just send me a message in game, Shane12088, or post on the forums or whatever. We'll get you started. So, with that being said, if you want to send in questions like these people did, just post them on the forums once the new week starts, rsbnb.com/forums, or email them to questions@rsbnb.com. We can take the text questions there, and we can take audio questions there. Send them in, and we'll play them on the show. All righty. So, shall we move on to tech news?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so... A Bitcoin theft.
Yes. Well, you know how the past couple of weeks we've been talking a lot about Bitcoins and how they really have gone up in value. Well, not surprising to know, people who have Bitcoin somewhere online, they've been hacked. And hackers have taken millions of dollars of Bitcoins.
Oops.
Let's see. So earlier this month, Bitcoin Internet Payment System, BIPS, a Denmark-based Bitcoin company, suffered a denial-of-service attack, unfortunately for users of the company's free online wallet for storing Bitcoins. The attack quickly drained numerous wallets, netting the attacker a reported 1,295 Bitcoins worth nearly $1 million, and leaving wallets users with little chance that they'll ever see their money again.
And here's the problem with Bitcoin, folks.
Yeah,
there's no paper
FDIC.
Trail like real-world money. And there's no proof that you ever had this money in your account to begin with.
And they're not FDIC insured, so if you lose it, you ain't getting it back.
Yeah, and I mean, this is one of the problems that was outlined when Bitcoin initially appeared, and it's surprising it's taken this long for something like this to happen. But regardless, you lose a Bitcoin, it's gone for good.
Well,
because if I remember correctly, they're little files that are just sitting on your computer that you need to keep safe.
And just to give you a little thing, you know, why they're worth so much right now. Shane knows more of why, how do they increase in value or whatnot. But
I do.
Bitcoin is. Well, you know more than I do. You know more about Bitcoin than I do, unless I want to bring Rita on one day to talk about this.
Well, no. I mean,
it's not really worth it, but you know how to tell Bitcoins actually work a little bit more than I do.
Yeah, basically, you mine a Bitcoin and you get these little things that are stored in files on your system, and hence the wallet. So, I mean, that's why if you lose a hard drive, you lose a Bitcoin and the Bitcoin is gone. So that's where this comes from. But I don't know. If you want to find out more about Bitcoins, there's actually a pretty good article on the Wikipedia that you could look up and find out. But, you know, it's really not worth mining for Bitcoins these days unless you have a strong system to do it.
Yeah. So I don't really know how that actually makes money, but okay, whatever.
You know, it's just a set value for each hash that you solve. So basically, your computer gets given a problem, right? And the first person to solve this problem gets to keep that hash, and that hash acts as the actual portion of a Bitcoin. So you let something run, and you'll make money over time. Like you'll solve portions of hashes. So you might start off by making a dollar or whatever, and I mean, back in the olden days, you could actually net single Bitcoins at a time, which nowadays, if you were to do that, you would earn somewhere on the order of, I think, $500 plus, maybe $700. I'm not sure what it's at now, but you would earn quite a bit. So that's basically how Bitcoin works in a nutshell. And just be careful with them where you store them. Don't store them at foreign banks. I just store them on a clearly backed up hard drive. Alrighty. So, moving on from that, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Alrighty. So next up, Microsoft's device chief sees a future without three versions of Windows. So, you know, right now we got Windows RT, Windows 8, and Windows Phone. So basically what they want in the future is they want one version of Windows for all operating systems and devices, which if they could accomplish that and have a decent UI for them and make it usable, I think we'd be looking at the holy grail of operating systems, which people have tried to do for a long time. But I think they do have a ways to go, you know, since in general the uptake of Windows 8 hasn't been as high as Microsoft would want. So anyways, nonetheless, this is something that Microsoft can strive for, and maybe it'll be something that their new CEO works on when they get one. Because Windows chief Terry Myerson actually sees phones as the future of Windows RT, and they're already working towards doing a single app store for Windows and Windows Phone. So if you combine the app stores, right, you might as well combine the OS at the end. And they also want to make registration for developers simpler, which is definitely something they need to do, and make their development platform more open with regards to getting new developers on, comparing it with Apple or Linux, for example. So, All right. You have anything on this?
Anything on this? Let's hopefully Windows can be more innovative and give Apple a more run for its money again. Let's see what they're going to do.
Alrighty then. What's next?
Well, it seems YouTube wants to start having music passes and subscriptions.
Yeah, basically an ad-free service called Music Pass. You'd pay them a certain amount of money, and it would probably be similar to iTunes Radio or Spotify or anything like that, Pandora. And this was initially alluded to in the Android app, YouTube 5.3. It's going to have these options. Background music to keep playing while you use other apps, uninterrupted playback, no ads, and offline play so that you can watch videos and listen to music away from Wi-Fi without devouring your data allowance. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? To be able to access YouTube and maybe YouTube Music without internet.
Could be.
And you know, that's one of the things with cloud that's always been missing.
I think it's good for YouTube to branch out and go and try into the music industry. It's always good to get a piece of the pie.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, they're the only ones to not do it, but it's kind of counterintuitive, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's run by YouTube. I mean, YouTube really wants to branch. It's run by YouTube. YouTube is run by Google. Google really wants to branch out and go a little bit of everywhere.
And see, this is why I say it's counterintuitive. If they're doing music with YouTube, right? So why aren't they doing this with Google Play Music? Because they already got that. So that's a question I have to ask. I mean, I don't have Google Play Music or anything like that, so I'm not entirely 100% sure on how it works, but I have a general idea. I just think it's a little bit weird. But anyways, look for this. Not been announced officially, but code doesn't lie.
You know what I do sometimes?
What's that?
On YouTube, I make a playlist of some of the songs that I listen to. If I listen to it, I kind of enjoy. So if I'm in the car, I actually open up YouTube and I use that as my music track for a while if I don't feel like turning on Pandora and then going on the radio.
Oh, okay.
That works for me. So.
Yep. All right, then. So, shall we move on from tech news?
Yeah, all right. What's next on our agenda?
So what are people upset about?
About what?
About this next part.
First of all, let's go with the first thing. November scale of the month is about to draw to a close tomorrow, and we have a very interesting thing that just happened, don't we, Shane?
Yes.
So it seems Tim woke up from his slumber and... What day was that? 23rd? Yeah, he spent the week of non-schooling to really shoot up. And he went from, let's see, went from 5 million XP to 17 million in a course of about 2 days. However, Jam Andy 52 is still slightly in the lead with 800k in the bank. Can he keep this lead up for what? For 24 more hours? Can Tim beat Jam Andy 52 in 24 hours? Find out on the next exciting episode of Skill of the Month November.
Don't you mean RSBNB update?
Yeah. Dude, come on, man. I don't want to take two.
All right, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, looking at this graph, Tim saw that he was behind, so he shot up. Then Andy saw that he was behind. He continued at a higher rate. Now with 1 day left, what's Tim going to do? I don't know. But, I mean, I kind of feel sorry for everybody else in the down below there, because below Jam Andy and Tim, we have Muremska with 930,000, then Flash with 823,000, and Sunset Fish with 468,000. Rounding out the top five. So I'm just going to say good job to everybody else who has gotten XP so far, seeing as though Herblore is a very expensive skill to level. As for Andy and Tim, well, we'll just have to wait and see who prevails on this one. Granted, as of this last night, Andy was around 800,000 ahead. So Tim has 2 days to catch up, or Andy has 2 days to even put more of a lead on. So we'll just have to wait and see. Anyways, wow. Never seen a scale of the month like this, I don't think.
It'll be interesting. Tomorrow I'll see who's going to take the lead. But anyway, December's going to be Dungeoneering. And so, hey, it's where the cookie crumbles. So good luck to everyone in December.
Yeah, you know, people weren't really very happy about this.
Oh, you can blame the bot.
Yeah, the thing that chooses it. We've had, just as a bit of background, we have Dungeoneering in December 2013, Dungeoneering July 2013, Dungeoneering May 2012, and Dungeoneering August 2011, and Dungeoneering May 2010. So... you know, this is random. It's as random as it can be with the facilities that we've got. So we're doing the best we can. And this is exactly why that there's a period of 3 months where skills aren't allowed to appear. And, I mean, it's very improbable for it to appear like this so soon, but it's not entirely possible. Alrighty. And now I'd just like to remind everyone that we're still running in former applications. So if you're interested in writing about RuneScape in general, you can send in an application to be a part of RSBNB Informer. And basically what RSBNB Informer does is they write articles based on RuneScape things that get published on the RSBNB website. So let's say you want to write something about one of the updates of the month. You can do it. You want to write about your favorite skill. You can do it. You want to do a series about the economy, you can do it. You can basically do whatever you want, providing it's the current version of the game you're writing about. So if you're interested in this, I highly encourage you to apply. All you need to do is write a 750-word article and send it in. More information as to the exact format and where to send it can be found on the form topic, which is linked in the notes at update.rsbnb.com. Alrighty, what do we got for achievements of the week?
Achievements of the week, we only have one this week. We have Lord Rickles, who ended up getting 99 magic on November 23rd.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Alright, So I think we do have kind of a joint pick of the week now, don't we?
You go first.
All right. Well, as Muramska mentioned, the Steam sales are going on, and Steam sales are always a good time for people who play games on the computer to purchase new games. So the pick of the week this year from both of us, or rather this week, not this year, is the Steam sales once again. So if you're on Steam and you've been hiding under a rock for some reason and you haven't found out about these, have a look at the Steam webpage every 18 hours, find out what the flash sales are, and maybe there'll just be something that can jump out at you. Anything for you this round?
Anything for me this round? Oh, for the Steam sale thing?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, for the Steam sale thing.
No, not yet. I've got nothing really worth getting. Would like to. Yeah, nothing right now.
All right. I have a couple things that I've been eyeing, but we'll just have to wait and see if they come down more, maybe, during the sale. But regardless, it's always a good time to be on the lookout for things like Christmas gifts and whatnot. So, all right.
Okay.
Well, why don't you tell them what time of the year it is again?
Time of the year? It's the most magical time of the year. And clip shows!
Yes, and like I said last week, the clip show is the best show of the year. So send us in some clips. Let's say you remember something funny that happened. Just send it in, like, tell us where it was, and we'll get it on the show again. Update.rsbnb.com/clips for that. And you can just send them in, and most of the clips that get suggested do get used, providing they can be found, so just make sure that they can be found. But yeah, looking forward to doing that the last week of the year this year in December, so that should be good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. What have you been up to?
I actually took your advice. After doodle quick up the engineering, I've been fishing rocktails every once in a while.
Oh yeah. And what have you been doing with them?
Oh, I'm just dumping my bank so far. May sell. I'll sell them later.
Well, are you gonna sell them, or are you gonna make soup, or?
I made some soup, but I don't have no spices, so I need to wait for Porch to get me some more.
Oh, okay.
Take me back to Porch.
I thought you didn't like that song.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said I got it's like Gum Gum Style. First couple times it's cool, but after you hear that so many times, I'm so sick of this now.
All right. So what else aside from fishing rocktail?
That's basically it. did a little bit of engineering. Managed to get 98 herb lore this week. At least I think it was this week. I can't remember anymore.
Oh, that's good.
Get some Citadel.
You gonna get 99 anytime soon?
You know what? It comes when it comes. And yeah, that's about it. I need to do some farmer. I need to do some hunter. I really need to do some agility.
Yeah, that's always a boring skill to do. I can't believe I got 99 in that, but wow.
At least you got it over with.
Anything else?
Get ready for Cyber Monday, 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 Monday.
All right. As for me this week, I've just been doing divination. Currently level 88, about 275,000 to level 89. Getting ahead of myself. But aside from that, just did some charm collecting this week with familiarization of the Glacors. Thought I'd give them a try. And Crimsons are definitely the best way to go from the Water Fans.
Go.
Because I am actually looking forward to doing some summoning this December with that Festivora, providing it works on that. My goal is to get 95 summoning for the Iron Titan, I think it is, or something like that. I don't know what it is. But then get 96 after that for the Pack Yak. Because, you know, the Pack Yak is just such a nice thing to have with its huge, 20 slots or 26 slots, I think. So,
you need 96,
practically,
right?
Another inventory. Yeah, 96.
Won't make any of that anytime soon.
No. Another thing I was considering doing was getting 92 Slayer for this new NPC that's coming out.
I'd join you for some co-op Slayer.
Maybe. Depending on what we got for TAS, maybe. Might be a good idea.
Alrighty.
But, yeah, that's about it. Did the RSBNB update supplemental this week on the economy update with CoinShare, which is on YouTube. A link in the notes. And, of course, the RSBNB map, which I didn't mention last week, but I got it in this week with the actual map update.
Yay!
RSBNB.com/map. Alrighty, I think that means we're done for this week. So with that being said, we'll see you next week for the first show of December, which means, of course, the year is wrapping up and we need those clips coming in. Have such a great time in December. We'll see you next week.
Come on, guys. It'll be fun. You know you want to make fun of me.